A very interesting message today. Are y'all ready or not? If it's your first time, are you ready? Are you ready? I mean, what's this man like? You're about to find out. Okay. I'm sort of screwed up, okay? I'll let you know. So anyway, that should help you. Here we go. Why the Bible? I'm in a series on answers to why. Last week was why am I here? I'm here to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and might. I'm here to love my neighbor as I love myself. That's why I'm here. I matter, I have value, but so do people have value, and they matter. That's why I'm here. It's not just about me, but I do matter. And it is about me, but it's about them too. And ultimately, it's about Him. Amen? So I've got a message with communion today. We're going to break this up into two parts, and I think it'll be good if we do that. That gives me a little time. And I really like to just lay this first part down pretty good for us today. A little different than I normally preach, but it's good for us. But why do I preach the Bible? Why do we have the Bible as our book here? Why is that? Why don't you read from all these little poem books and stuff? A lot of churches do. Why do you preach the Bible? Why is it the Bible? Why don't you have other religious books up here? It's a good question, isn't it? Why? Fellowship Church. That sounds like y'all could just teach anything. Why do you choose to teach the Bible? And why is the Bible the backbone of our Christian faith? Why is it? It's a good question, ain't it? Why the Bible? Okay? Well, I guess you gotta have something. Well, I don't think that's a good enough answer to a lost and dying world and a lot of people who are a lot smarter than I am. They need something a little more than that. Amen? So a good, solid message. A couple of weeks we're going to look at it. But then there will be other questions to, you know, answers to why coming up in this series. But today, why the Bible? And if you're a skeptic today, you're watching online or listening on radio or you're here in this room, that's fine. That's okay. You ought to be able to come here. You ought to be able to come here with questions and looking to find some answers. And that's okay. All right? So let's talk about that one today. Why the Bible? Are y'all ready or not? Have I said it enough? I sort of like to say it. Why? And it sort of flows. The Bible. It sort of just flows. You know what I'm saying? You know, I guess you don't get it, but it just feels good. Why the Bible? Here we go. Let's start off. I want you to read a couple of scriptures with me. And I do that a lot here. This is one of the biggest Bibles in the whole area, that big old screen right there. Everything I put on there, sometimes they're my personal notes, but by and large, it's the Bible that you'll see. Or some study material. But today, let's look at this verse right here. Would you say it? It's from Isaiah chapter 46. Say it with me. Don't go too fast. Here we go. Remember the former things of old. Now, slow down. Here we go. For I am God. And there is none else. Again, say it with me. I am God, and there is none like me. Now, we're learning. You just don't know it yet. Hang in here. Verse 10. God, I am God, he says. There's no else body like me. I'm God. There's nobody like me. Verse 10. Declaring, help me, the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. Saying, say it out loud. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So, we learn a lot from that verse, but that's just a verse. We're just talking. We're just getting started. But God is God, and we're not. Y'all hear me? There's nobody else like God. You can come down off your high horse because you ain't Him. Okay? And Hollywood ain't Him. And Washington ain't Him. There's one God. His name is Jesus. Okay? God. I know the Trinity and God in three persons, but personal God, His name is Jesus Christ. There's nobody like Him. Nobody like Him. And that's what this says. He can declare the what? The end from the what? Begin. You try that. Okay? Let's keep learning. That's the Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament with a good verse. I just want to set the table a little bit with another good verse. And I'll read this and I'll ask you to pipe in it sometime. Here we go. So we have also a more sure word of prophecy. This is 2 Peter. Whereunto you do well, if you take heed, as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. I want you to say these next two verses with me. They're really important when it comes to the Bible and why the Bible. Say it with me out loud. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, say it out loud, is of any private interpretation. Keep reading. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were what? Moved by the Holy Ghost. Okay, so just a couple of scriptures to get us going this morning. So why the Bible? Why do we teach the Bible? We learned a mouthful right there. We learned that God's God, nobody else like Him. Okay? Nobody else like Him. And He can tell things back in ancient times that's going to happen today in our time. He can tell the end at the beginning. Okay? We don't even know if we're going to be here tomorrow. Y'all hear me or not? We can listen to the weatherman. They don't even know if it's going to rain on Thursday, and they got all the stuff to look at it. Y'all hear me or not? God stands alone here. Okay? So, let's push it, buddy. Push me. So, why the Bible? Why the Bible? And I just want to say a couple other things. Before we get started. There are many religions in the world. But there are only a few major religions. We're talking big time with, you know, millions and billions of people in it. Okay? And Christianity is based on the what? The Bible. Christianity is based on the what? The Bible. Okay? So why do we do that? Why do we believe the Bible? Why does Christianity teach the Bible? But more particularly, why does Fellowship Church do it? And why does Gary Clark do it in Englewood, Florida? Okay? Well, number one, say it out loud. Because it is evidently what? Consistent and undeniably factual. And you can run your mouth, or anybody else can run their mouth, well, the Bible said this and it ain't this. It's because you ain't read the Bible and you don't even know what you're talking about. And I got something laying on the, here we go. And this one drives me crazy. I've got issues. Y'all know that, right? Can you see me going around the house and doing stuff? Anyway, here we go. So, that's why the Bible is evidently consistent, undeniably factual. And he's going to move it for me. Mitchell's are you helping up there today, Mitch? Is that you? Mitchell! He's not responding. Roger's away on vacay. Mitch, I can't see you. You're in the dark. Yes. He messed with me in the first service, man. Come on, don't be messing with me. Here we go. Say that word with me. What's that called? One more time. So there's several major religions. There's not a ton of them, large religions in the world. But the Bible, that's the basis for Christianity. Why the Bible? Why does the Bible stand tall above all those other religions and all those other books? Why? Because of that word right there. Predictions. Predictions. What do you mean? They all do it. No, they don't. You just made that up. They might do it a little bit. But the Bible is the only book of a major religion that has predictive prophecy in it. It's the only book. And you might say, well, what is there like? Is there like four of them? It's a third of your Bible. A third of your Bible is predictive prophecy. If you want to prove you're a liar and a cheat, go out and just make stuff up and tell a lot of people. Tell people this is going to happen and that's going to happen and this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And when it don't happen, nobody's going to listen to you anymore. Well, God did that because He's God. He knows the beginning from the end. And from ancient times, He can tell you what's happening today. And see, God isn't scared of you, and He's not scared of me. He did this because He loves us. He wants to help us. He's not going to screw your life up. But the Bible has almost 2,000 prophecies in it. Can you believe that? That's a lot. Is that a lot? And a third of them, a third of the whole Bible is made up of prophecies. Well, did they come true, or have they come true, or when will they come true? Most have already been fulfilled in the Bible. And I could do this all day long, but I want to just focus in on a few of them. And this is just me talking to you. Let's talk about Jesus, for example. Was Jesus mentioned in the Old Testament? Was there prophecies about Jesus coming in the Old Testament? We're talking thousands of years before He came. You know, or hundreds of years, different prophecies. Was He mentioned? Absolutely. Let's just do some tests right quick. Said He would be born of the seed of Abraham. Was He? Yes. Also of the line of Jacob. Yes or no? Of the lineage of King David. King David. Yes. Yes. Okay. Those are all prophecies that are mentioned in the Old Testament. But let's keep going a little further. See, the Bible's the only book that has that kind of stuff in it. Are y'all hearing me? Now, if you find these other major religions, well, a lot of them are copycats. Okay? They take the scriptures and screw them up and slide it this way and that way a little bit. And then they add all kinds of crazy stuff. It's nuts, okay? But if they do have prophecy, so much of it is absolute cuckoo and nuts. Did y'all hear me? Bible ain't cuckoo and nuts. You cuckoo. And I'm cuckoo. Got it? God ain't. He's got His act together. So let's keep talking about Jesus for a second. Are y'all all right so far? Why the Bible? Well, we're talking about Jesus. Jesus, you mentioned somewhere in the Old Testament something about your life. Yeah. It says that Jesus would be sold, betrayed. It says this in the Old Testament for 30 pieces of silver. Let me ask you a question. Was He? That's pretty detailed. Is that detailed? It said exactly where He would be born. And where Jesus was born was in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem isn't like Sarasota. It ain't like Venice, and it ain't like Inglewood. Bethlehem is like LG Bean. You understand? This ain't like Jesus would be born in New York City. You know what I mean? No, it's so detailed. He will be born in Bethlehem, and it goes on to say Ephratah. Was Jesus born in Bethlehem? We sing the song, Oh Little What? And it sure is. It's a little town. I remember the first time I went to Bethlehem, I was so disappointed. This is it? This is where the Savior of the world, the Son of the living God, was born. In Bethlehem. I always felt this way. They don't even have good Christmas lights. I'm serious. Half the lights were out. Now, maybe that was 30 years ago. I've done it about 10 times, but it's been 20 years since. Maybe they got all that fixed. I have no idea. But all I know is we have a mighty God who would tell us where our Savior would be born. And He would, just a little tiny pinpoint on the world map. And that's exactly where Jesus was born. But there were other prophecies about Jesus. I'm just sticking with Jesus. We could go a lot in a lot of different areas. But what about other prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament? It says that Jesus would be pierced. Psalm 22, I believe. What does that mean? He would be crucified. Was He crucified? Well, there's a lot of ways to die, right? A lot of ways to be killed. He was crucified. But here's the interesting thing about that prophecy. It was about 1,000 years before crucifixion became a form of execution. How does that happen? What happens because God is God and nobody else is. And He can tell us things that will happen in the future and exactly how it will happen. Let's go to the New Testament. Jesus said that Jerusalem would be laid waste and destroyed. And he even said the stones would be, did he say the stones would be carried away? Did he say that? That's a pretty specific prophecy. Stones were carried away. That happened in A.D. what? 70, thank you. A.D. 70. Probably about 40 years after the time of Christ. Or you know, 70 years or somewhere, but actually about 40 years or so after Christ. Okay? Y'all hear me or not? So about 70 A.D., that actually happened. And they carried the stones away, and some suggest they carried the stones away because there was so much gold in them, they melted them so to get the gold out of the stones. What a prophecy. Y'all hear me or not? Let's do some more with Jesus real quick. The Bible's the only book of a major religion that has predicted prophecy. Another one. Did Jesus say he would be betrayed? Was he? Did he say he would be mocked? Yes. Did he say he would be beaten and scourged and crucified? Was he? All of that. Did he say he would be killed? Yes or no? Was he? He was. But then he put a little icing on the cake. Three days I'm going to do what? Did he? He did. Are you hearing me? Why the Bible? Why at Fellowship Church would I get up here and read little poems and sing Kumbaya with you? When I've got the Word of the Living God. That's why the Bible. Now this series is going to go on for 2 weeks and it's going to get real personal. It's going to come down to our level on why the Bible. And that's why we read it and that's why we believe it. It's going to get real personal and you're going to start to see, oh my gosh, that's insane. But I'm still going to ride this wagon a while right here. Let's just stay with this thought for right now today, okay? So, why the Bible? Because it's evidently what? Consistent, and it's undeniably what? Well, let's dig deeper. Let's dig deeper. Let's dig deeper. What's that big fancy word right there? Archaeology. Archaeology. Yeah, archaeology has been around for a long time. I mean, they were trying to find material things, you know, a couple of thousand years ago, about 3,000 years ago, about previous cultures and examples of, you know, different people and places and things like that. That's been happening a while, archaeology. But for probably almost until probably 1500s, certainly 1600s, 1700s, there was not really great archaeology. Y'all hear me? Archaeology came about in the time of the Renaissance. And they started being able to dig and to study and to travel and to find things. And so archaeology is a big deal. But I got a little ahead of myself. I want to see some scripture right quick. Look at some scripture. Luke 19:40. Before we read that verse, on Palm Sunday, Jesus told his disciples. Oh, that was predicted in the Old Testament too, wasn't it? About the foal of the ass, Pastor. Is that correct? That was predicted as well in the Old Testament. Did his disciples get a donkey, an ass, and he ride on it coming into Jerusalem? Yes or no? That was predicted too, by the way. So he comes into the city of Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. That's the beginning of Passion Week. Is that correct? So he comes in, and the crowd is hollering, and they're shouting a particular word. What are they saying? What's that word? Hosanna. Say it out loud. They're shouting what? Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. And then they said this. Blessed, say it with me, be the name of the Lord. Amen? And they were also calling him king. And they were hollering. It wasn't just his 12 disciples. It could have been thousands of people that are with Jesus. They're following Jesus. Have I lost y'all in the weeds? So they're screaming, they're hollering, Jesus, the King Jesus. And they didn't understand it all. I think they thought he was going to set up his kingdom right then and whoop Rome's butt and kick them all out. Whatever. Whatever the reasoning. They were screaming that and hollering that. And there were thousands of them. It was loud and it was crazy. And the Pharisees hated it. The religious rulers, the ones who later would be a big party of his whole death, they actually came to Jesus and they said this to Jesus. Everybody's screaming, Messiah and King. And the Pharisees, the religious rulers said, tell them to shut up. You shut them up! You shut them up! You stop it! You're going to be arrested! You get in line! Boy, that sounds familiar sometimes, doesn't it? You can't say this! You know what Jesus said to him? Read it with me. And he, tell me, answered and said unto them, say it with me, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, say it out loud, the stones would immediately cry out. Why the Bible? Because of archaeology. In the 1700s, even before, but really in the 1700s and the 1800s, the stones started drying out. What do you mean, Pastor? Were stones talking? No. People started being able to go and research and travel and study and dig and dig and dig and dig and dig. And boy, did they ever find some stuff. See, in the Bible, in the Old Testament specifically, and in the New Testament, there are places that are mentioned that you don't see anywhere else. There are places mentioned. There are leaders mentioned. Kings mentioned. Events mentioned. Stuff! And there's no other reference. So therefore, the Bible must be a lie. Right? Have I lost y'all? The Bible must be a lie. Because it ain't mentioned nowhere. Well, hold the phone. The Bible is concise. The Bible is concrete. God said, I know the beginning from the end. I can tell things in the future from ancient days. God is holy, holy, holy. We ain't. The God will never lie, nor can He lie. Well, then why aren't these things found in other places? Well, maybe nobody looked. Or maybe they didn't look deep enough into the earth after civilizations had been destroyed and covered up. And archaeology came along and did some digging. Are y'all with me or not? So what happened? Well, let's look at this guy for a second. Sir William Ramsay. Sir William Ramsay. Who was he? He's probably some wild-eyed Christian joker, right? No. He had his PhD from Oxford. He had 9 other doctor's degrees. I doubt any of you in here got that. He was an atheist, and he was the son of an atheist. It had been ingrained in him. There is no God. It's stupidity. It's ignorance. And he followed right in that old path. And that's where so much of science is today. They have a predisposition that there is no God. And that there is no creator. So therefore, all their studies are based on bull crap. Excuse my language. Did you hear me or not? I don't appreciate you judging me before you meet me. I don't think God's very kind to it either. You hear me or not? Why don't you come and let the Lord reason with you? That's what the Bible says. And see, just see if He's not telling the truth. So archaeology, Jesus said, if you cause these boys to shut up, the rocks are going to cry out. And the rocks started crying out. Who was William Ramsay? Well, he gave his whole life over to archaeology. Say that last part with me. Oh, and by the way, you can look this up yourself. And he was determined to do what? That he would do what? To disprove the Bible. Well, why? Well, he's an atheist. But it goes a little deeper than that. Look at it. Help me, buddy. He especially, I want you to say this out loud. He especially wanted to disprove what? The book of what? Acts. And it was written by Luke. Who knows anything about Luke? Luke was a blank. He was a doctor. He's a scientist. So this scientist, he was born in 1851, by the way. He lived about 1939. I know that was a while back, but that wasn't that long ago. And so this joker right here, he was going to take on Luke toe-to-toe. And for 25 years, he dug and he studied. Where? In Asia Minor. He dug, he looked, he researched, he found this, he found that. Maybe the most foremost researcher of his type. He was going to disprove the book of Acts and that Luke was a liar and the whole Bible's a bunch of bull. Guess what? Here's the nice thing about the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the actions of the apostles. And it goes a lot. There's a lot of territory that's been covered in that book. Amen. Who was one of the main people in the book of Acts? His name was the apostle who? Paul. And Paul was a traveling man. He was here and he was there. He was over here. So this guy had a road map. He had a road map of where he was to go study and find stuff and prove Luke wrong. But guess what? He was what? He's impressed. If you'd impressed a wild-eyed atheistic scientist, you're doing something. He was impressed. Wait a minute, back it up. Don't make me jump on you, son. Quit it. He was impressed with the accuracy of Luke's writing. So now, son, move ahead. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. You know what? He declared that Luke was, what's the word? Guys, this isn't a guy that's drunk the Kool-Aid, the Christian Kool-Aid. No, he had drunk the other Kool-Aid. He was drunk on it. He didn't want to believe. It was exact to the what? Most what? Minute detail. That's why the Bible, guys, the rocks have cried out. Science all the time. Instead of trying to be against God, if they believe verse 1 in the Bible. What is verse 1 in the Bible? Do you know it? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the... Science would be a whole lot better if they believe verse 1 of the Bible. Instead of predisposing that it didn't happen that way, but something had to blow up. And the only reason they say billions of years, because it takes all that time for there to even be... Well, there still can't be a chance of nothing blowing up and making what we got. But that's what they think. They got to give it so much time so it might could happen. God said none of it happened that way. I did it all. That's why we have the Bible. That's why I get up here week after week after week and teach the Bible. Are y'all hearing me? And don't come and try to convince me otherwise later. It ain't happening, man. He uncovered hundreds of things that did what? Confirmed the what? Historical accuracy of the Bible. So some of you, if you're watching online or if you're here today, I just really want to warn you. Be careful shooting your mouth off to somebody that the Bible's not true. You're going to look like an idiot. Talk about auto mechanics or sports. But stay off of this subject. Unless you're going to believe, because God's not going to put up with it. You hear me? Your sin will find you out. He will be right, and he will prevail. What happened to this man? He shocked the critical world when he declared himself a what? Amen. Let's thank the Lord. I think he's looking at us right now. Watch him. Pretty good. What does the Bible say? Faith comes by what? And hearing the what? And hearing the Word of God. Why would we preach any other book if your faith is coming from this book? Y'all hear me or not? So, let's keep looking. Now, I'm almost done with the message. Aren't y'all glad? Now, guys, there's a whole lot more. And it's going to get real practical next week. Okay? Today we're keeping a little bit of out of my league a little. Y'all know I'm not a scientist. How many knew that? Yeah. How many believe if I mix some chemicals up at the house, I'd burn the house down? How many think that? Ain't no doubt about it. Ain't no doubt about it. I'd burn the house down. Okay. You know, here we go. More than 25,000 sites, and it's more than that now. More than 25,000 sites have been discovered that pertain to the Bible. See, archaeology, it takes some doing to be an archaeologist. It takes a team. It takes travel. It takes equipment. Well, now they got that stuff. I think the more right now that we live, I think we're going to see more and more and more and more and more of this come to pass. I think it's a really bad time not to believe the Bible. I'm going to tell you right now. We didn't even know we had DNA until that long ago. We didn't know that the retina in the eye was unique to only you and our fingerprints are unique to only us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Where is that? Is that in the Bible? So if you wanted to be anti-Bible, I'm afraid you already missed your chance. You hear me? Come on, let's keep looking. So more than 25,000 sites have been discovered that pertain to the Bible. Records, say it with me, of what? Tens of what? Thousands of individuals and events have been what? Names that they were not found before. Well, you didn't dig long enough, fool. And now you're finding these people actually lived. Wow. Why the Bible? Let's look at some other scientists. Dr. William Albright, John Hopkins University. He said this. There can be no doubt that archaeology has confirmed the substantial history of the what? That's a big old statement for a scientist to make. He will be blackballed and run out of town. You hear me, don't you? Let's look at another one. You might say, Gary, why are all these black and white? I hate to tell you. Because our colleges and major universities today have bought the lie and they've been teaching a bunch of bull. Y'all hear me or not? How in the world can you have a baby? Mama, how can you have a baby? That baby. Birth that baby. Come right out of you. You got a baby. And not believe there's a God. God have mercy on us. See, we have to believe that if we're going to kill the kids. You understand? But if we believe they're a gift from Almighty God, then no matter what happens, that baby deserves a chance to live. That's just your politics. No, that's just you don't know your Bible. We're going to give an answer to God one day. We're going to stand before Him. None of us are perfect. I get that. But guys, we're going to be accountable. Amen? Why the Bible? Dr. Miller Burroughs said this. He was Yale University. You ever heard of that? Did you know it used to train pastors and teachers and preachers? Yale? Oh, yeah. And they still do that some to not believe the Bible. That's why our churches has gone down. Y'all hear me or not? Churches would do a lot better in this country if they get back to the Bible. What'd he say? In many cases, archaeology has refuted the views of modern critics. In a number of instances, it's been shown that these views rest on false, what's the word? Assumptions. And unreal, artificial, what's that word? Schemes of historical development. Man, if you believe you came from nothing, slime and blew up and any all this, I mean, that is all unrealistic, unreal assumption. It didn't happen that way at all. We don't have something mid-species. Why aren't there like millions of them they found? It ain't like they can't dig. They should be everywhere. Birdmen. Y'all hear me or not? They're not there because they're not there. Believe, man. Here's what the Bible says. It's Hebrews chapter 6. Without faith, say it with me, it's what? Impossible to please who? It didn't end there. For we must do what? Believe, keep going, that He what? Is, and He's a what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Instead of not believing, why don't you say, I want to believe? And you give the Lord a little chance in your life and see if He don't prove to you that He is who He says He is. My mother was a drunk. She cussed God. He was GD. He was a cuss word in my house. Billy Graham preached the gospel. My mother hadn't heard the gospel much. But she opened her heart somehow, some way, even though she was somewhat drunk. And she said, we're going to church in the morning. And she gave God a little chance. We didn't have a car. We walked. The preacher preached out of guess what book? The what? Mama went home and drank. So did her hell-raising son. We went back next week. Mama went home and drank. Crazy me, I'm living like a crazy person. The third week, Mama made a choice, and I made a choice to believe. Did we understand it all? We didn't understand. Yeah, praise the Lord. We didn't understand. But Mama went home after church, poured her liquid gold down the sink, never drank another drop. Instead of making excuses or feeling like he can't, why don't you give God a chance? He's not lying to you. Are y'all hearing me today? I'm all in. In case you're wondering, like, does Clark really believe? I'm all in. Go ahead and call me a nut. Let's keep looking. The excessive skepticism of many liberal theologians stems, say it with me, not from careful evaluation of the available data, but, say it with me, an enormous what? Against the who? How many ever believed a lie in your life and it got you in a lot of trouble? You ain't never been in the trouble you're going to be in. If you come to a church like this and you hear that Jesus loves you and He loves sinners, and this church isn't about works, it's about God's grace saving you, you're going to be in a heap of trouble. You hear me? And there's no way out. This is your chance to get one thing right in your life. And that's believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. You hear me? Quit arguing with me. Throw me out. Believe the Bible. Amen? It's appointed unto man once to die. Does that happen? Say. And after this, the what? The judgment. Why the Bible? Sir Frederick Kenyon. He was from the British Museum. That sounds smart to me. Archaeology, say it with me, has what? That's a big statement, ain't it? Come on, man. What else? We'll end with this one. Nelson Glick, renowned Jewish archaeologist. I'd say that guy was over there. Here we go. What did you say, Nelson? It may be stated categorically that no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference. What'd you say, Willis? The incredibly accurate historical memory of the Bible, particularly when we see that it is fortified by what? Historical facts. So, that was the only point we got to today. Now, the rest of them come easy. They're personal. They're applicable. This was just sort of science stuff. Why do we believe the Bible? And why the Bible at Fellowship Church? Would you say it really clearly with me? Because the Bible is evidently consistent and undeniably... Let's thank the Lord for His Word this morning. Boom!